Laura grew up in Germany, moved to the UK a decade ago, and writes poems, stories, and songs in her second language. She has an MST distinction in creative writing from Oxford. Her debut poetry collection, How to Extricate Yourself, Dempsey and Windle 2020, was selected as the winner of the 2020 Brian Dempsey Memorial Prize by the Poetry Society's Paul McGrane. Her work has been widely anthologized, appears in a variety of journals, from Strange Horizons to Emerslexia, and has been published in the UK, Ireland, Belgium, numerous other countries. She's an A.M. Heath Prize recipient. She won the Hammond House International Literary Award for poetry. So we certainly have a worthy winner for our third place prize tonight, and the 2020 Mogford Short Story Prize. She was highly commended for the 2020 Acumen Poetry Prize. There's a big long list that I certainly can't get through, and she's a finalist in over 20 other international literary competitions, and we're delighted to hear from her tonight. And congratulations, Laura, on your third place poem, and we're looking forward to hearing that.
Thank you so much. Should I say my words first?
Oh, as you like, it's up to you. Yeah.
Okay, so the five words were speck, spill, lover, over, silver. And the poem is called What You Meant When You Promised We'd Go to the Circus. The spotlight is a pinprick of sun through the blinds. The lion is a calico kitten asleep on the windowsill. The trapeze is an empty bag slung over the back of the chair. The dancers are all specks of silvery dust. The sad clown is me, spilling half of my coffee onto my whitest dress because my hands are shaking. The magic trick is the lover performing a very arcane disappearing act. And that was my poem from the competition. And you just said I'm allowed another one, so I'm going to do a really quick plug for my book. So this is my poetry debut that came out just in December, my first book. And there's a poem from it called Medusa. Do not lose faith on the day you wake up with spiders instead of hair. Do not cry as you look in the mirror. Remember, they may stay, they may not. They're here for now. If you must take pains to cover your head, hide their crawling under your most elegant hat, lest people recoil from you in the streets. Or don't. Remember Medusa and her snakes. She'd turn anyone to stone if they looked at her frightened. She was a monster and proud. All hiss, curse, and scorn, danger. And yet to think, someone must have loved her enough to name half of all jellyfish. Those moon-glowing blooms of floating fluorescent umbrellas and bells after her. Thank you.
That was gorgeous. Thank you so much, Laura. Fantastic altogether. It's a brilliant start. Wow, okay. So next we have Jill Monroe. Jill Monroe has won our second place this year. Jill is also a past winner of the competition, as Rosie mentioned before. We have a few alumni here tonight. We have the Derek and Marianne Sellen combination of power poetry over there in that little box over there, I see. They've not only both won, but Derek has actually won the competition twice. So they're almost enshrined in the five words, you know, forever row of competition winners. And so we're thrilled to have all of those writers with us. There are poets here who have been shortlisted in previous competitions as well. Thrilled to have you all with us as well, and looking forward to your poems. But next we have Jill, who won the second prize in the competition, and I will just introduce her. Now she has been published in major poetry magazines, including Frogmore Press, the Popshot Quarterly, the Fenland Reed and the Rialto, and her work has been anthologized in the Emma Press, Candlestick Press, Paper Swans Press, and Calder Valley Press. She won, as we've said, the Ovail Five Words International Poetry Competition 2017-2018. Her first collection, Man from La Paz, was published in 2015 by Green Bottle Press. She won the Fair Acre Press Pamphlet Competition in that year with the Quilted Multiverse, published the next year. And Jill was awarded a Hawthornden Fellowship for 2018 and lives and writes in the depths of Ashdown Forest. So please welcome Jill Munro.
Thank you very much, Paul. Great to be here. And I couldn't make it the year I won because I had an eye operation, so it's really nice to be here now. My poem, well, the five words are icon, warm, lodestar, bind, and tune. The Shergalization of Joan. To herald in autumn, she places drying chrysanths in clear glass on the window ledge beneath Chagall's church staining of pastel spring, oblivious to her obscuring of his iconic mule, not seeing golden light, lodestar bright, fall on the hops and empty poppy heads arranged last week, until quiet steps of brogues on flagstones change the ringing clop of hooves. Joan feels a gentle current's lift. A happy floating begins to unbind her as she rides the deep red horse elevating from the vestry floor. She hears a distant scrape of violin strings in the bow dancing of a goatly tune and swims in indigo, turquoise seas, caught in a non-drowning tempest, unfolds vivid wings and flies to Christ's right shoulder. A butterfly, an angel, she does not care, just wants the purple violet rise of air, a harp to pluck, a flute to play, to be part of this glassy patchwork, to be awash in a multicoloured quilt. Joan has captured the husks of nature in a vase. Now she's the warm yellow of an oak leaf that's opened, lived, then fallen. That's it. I'll just do the one. I think I might have another one in the other bit.
Okay, unless you're sure, Jill, you can read the other one, but you can also read another poem now if you like as well, if you have another one.
It's okay, I'll read in the lockdown one as well, because it's quite long, that one.
Okay. Great, thank you, Jill. Well done, that was lovely. I really enjoyed that poem. Actually, the comments by Grace Wells on all of the shortlisted poems are also published in the book. Once again, if you don't have a book, it's available as a PDF online, which you can access. The link is on the five word page on our website as well as on our Facebook page. And if you're stuck for the link, just give us a shout and we'll send it your way. But it's wonderful to read through the judges' comments. Tremendous insight into the poems. And so, actually, before I introduce our winning poet, I think this would be a good time to ask Grace Wells, if she doesn't mind, if she's ready to maybe say a few words. All right, Grace.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks so much. It's really, really special to be here. It's so lovely for me to connect faces and characters with these poems that I've been living with for a really long time. And I'm really proud to be part of this project, because when I hold this book in my hands, I can see it's so much more than my small part in this evening's proceedings. It's really just an epic book. And I'm proud to be part of tonight's community of writers, because I think above all, that's what Ovail is, and that's what it's been for many, many years, this amazing community of writers that really understands the nature of support. And as writers, we need a lot of support. And personally, I struggle with the idea of competition as support, because I think it can set us against each other, whereas we need a kind of peer group where we respect this sort of feeling of mutuality and shared endeavor. and common purpose of the written word, the art of writing, the search for meaning, memorialization or creative expression, whatever we are up to, it's a much sweeter experience when our peers have our back and we're in a community. So I really celebrate Avail and how it has been that community for all of these years. And it's so, I'm really proud to have had a connection with Avail through those years, through that long decade and a bit more into the next decade. So I was also delighted that Paul went with the idea of having the lockdown poems as well. I'm going to read the judge's comment that I made for Sinead's poem, because it kind of explains a little bit about my process. But part of what I'm about to say is that there were so many poems that were really good, and it was an almost impossible task to let those poems go. And I, because I'm quite an empathetic person, I know how painful it is when a work isn't selected. I think this is why I'm against competitions. And so every time I put aside a poem, I didn't do it lightly, because I knew it was going to hurt somebody somewhere. And I don't think that's what we should be doing. I think we need to encourage. But by being able to have the lockdown poems in as well, I could keep some of my favorites for that little bit longer. So that was a delight for me. So I will just introduce this year's winning poem, A Rook Longs for a Badger by Sinead McClure. From the nearly 800 entries, I created a long list of about 100 poems, all fine pieces, all submitted within a week of their crafting. I wanted poems which gave no hint of their genesis, no glimmer of the short time frame they were conceived in, or of the five words that prompted them. Poems that really were poetry. About 50 entries fitted that description. They all deserved to be shortlisted. Many could have won. But I chose A Rook Longs for a Badger because the poem so neatly, so lyrically addresses my politics. They are the only politics I believe we need to be exploring now. It is ever shocking to me how human-centric we are, how little nature exists in our collective thinking, even the thinking of poets. For years, she's been a sideline in the competitions I've judged. So few writers have given her even a glimmer of regard. Here's a poet who isn't just writing about nature, she's thinking as the creatures do. This type of thinking is the moral task of our times. But we won't get there by being lectured. We need to be seduced. How beautifully a rook longs for a badger calls, come hither. So thank you all so much. And thank you to Paul and to Rosie for giving me the opportunity to judge these amazing poems.
Thank you, Grace. We're thrilled that you could be with us tonight and for your lovely words, your brilliant job, just such a stunning selection of poetry. You know, from 775 entries, I think it was, 35 different countries. And I know you were thrilled to discover that Sinead was the winner. Of course, you had no idea because all the poems were numbered when they were sent to you. So Sinead, I hope you're almost ready to go. I'm just about to introduce you. If you'd like to read two or three extra poems, you're welcome to as our winner. So I see you nodding away there. I won't waste any more time. Sinead McClure, our eighth Five Words International Poetry Competition winner, who behind her, I must say, has got the prize from Michael Ray. Michael usually can join us on these nights, but tonight he just couldn't make it. Absolutely incredible glass artist. You should check out his work online. President Higgins keeps buying stuff from him to gift to people overseas and what have you. absolutely brilliant poet as well. So well worth looking at Michael Ray. Hi, Michael, if you're listening to us on Facebook. Anyway, I've detracted. Sinead, back to you. Sinead McClure is a writer, a radio producer, an illustrator. Her poetry has been published in Poet Head, Live Encounters, Poetry and Writing, Crossways Literary Journal, The Cabinet of Heed, Dodging the Rain, Step Away Magazine, and the Ekphrastic Review. Sinead has also written 15 dramas for the National Radio Children's Service, RTE Junior Radio, on the themes of conservation and Ireland's natural heritage. She often revisits these themes in her work and has a particular interest in wildlife conservation, as Grace mentioned. In December 2020, Sinead received a Professional Development Award from the Arts Council of Ireland to fund mentoring and research towards building her first poetry collection. And Sinead lives now in rural County Sligo with her husband and their two border collies. So please give a warm welcome to Sinead McClure.
Thanks, everybody. Hope you can hear me. I hope my internet from the wilds of Sligo is holding up for tonight. Thanks so much, Paul and Rosie, for this evening, and to Grace Wells, what you said. It's the only politics for me as well, and it just meant an awful lot. How you got the poems. To be shortlisted is amazing. To be shortlisted twice is just unreal. And to win overall, yeah, more so. So I am going to read a little bit before I read the 2 5-word challenge poems. And the first poem I'm going to read, this one I chose to read tonight, because at the moment the swans are migrating back to Scandinavia, and we live on the flight path, and we often see them going over, and we saw them this morning. So I immediately thought, I'm going to read this poem tonight. It was first published in Live Encounters Poetry and Writing last year, and this is called Equinox and the Hooper Swans. First, it is the sound of children laughing, then hoots, howls and bellows above the tree line. This is the whoop of spring's arrival. 40 in one group arrow the sky, narrowly missing the tops of the Scots pine. Each day, more leave, climb higher, fly faster. They are leaving the lakes, leaving Gara, Key and Gill. When a pair leave late, tell them hurry up, and they will. Until the day casts shadows on their wings, and they raise their voices once more, fly towards a mid-September sunset to return. Finally, it is the sound of children crying. The next poem I'd like to read for you was published in Poet Head, and I suppose it's about the absurdity of modernity in a rural setting. This is called Space Taxi. Soon I'll be able to hail an Uber to Mars. Well, not hail exactly. I will inform my driver I'm waiting on the corner at Kilty Tige beside the tall green house. I'll be there early, before the postman does his rounds, watching the heron fly over and the grey wagtail dance in the river. Then Uber can deliver me to the launch pad just off the bog road in Boyle, as good a place as any, well known for its UFOs. By then we'll all be flying everywhere anyway. One more liftoff will hardly be noticed. Maybe someone outfooting turf will remark on the plumes of smoke coughing across the fields towards them. Wonder why the sloes have fallen off the blackthorn or the fallow deer are galloping their way. But they'll get used to the daily flights and laugh like the rest of us at the irony of no bus route to Boyle, but a shuttle to Mars. When I'm strapped in, sucking my Simpkins travel suites, hurtling towards the blue sky, Mrs. Higgins will lean across and ask, why are the windows so small, or do you think there'll be tea? And I will smile and nod and grit my teeth as the capsule separates with one neat shudder and outside cuts from blue to nothingness with stars. Soon there'll be queues on the bog road to Boyle for the SpaceX Express to Mars, and the English couple in Clunloo will sell their farm fresh eggs and raw honey. Mrs. Tansy from Breechla will tout her boxty, and young Welsh will sell space rock with Nocatelli running through it in red sugar leading. By then, I'll have forgotten all about my trip to Mars and my re-entry with a splash at the mouth of the Garavogue and waiting in the northwest rain for the train to Ballymote because I couldn't get a bus from Sligo back to the corner in Kilty Tig when I could get an Uber to Mars. I'm going to finish up with the two five-word challenge poems. And thanks for indulging me for them too. As I said, Grace really got what I was saying, particularly in this poem. Five words were strange, word, breed, triangle, and skin. And this poem is called Held Back. You spoke in strange patterns, a jigsaw of words with round edges. I could hear your chime echo through the school hall, a tin triangle resonant and rising above the adolescent hum. Some would mock your odd vernacular, sidestep your spittle to ape your strange gait, but you were one of us, and we always put those who thought otherwise straight. It's almost 40 years. I can still see you. Nothing pales. Swaying beside me on those twisting feet, vowels held midair, the clearest laugh of all. And the final poem I will read is the poem that Grace chose to win this competition. It's a wonderful competition, and this is a wonderful anthology, and it's such an honour to be included among such great poets in this. The one thing I'll say, I've been writing about nature for years, and I always try to notice it. I think that's important. I think if you notice nature, you'll notice if there's something wrong, you'll notice if there's something missing. And also I found that things impact other things. So if a piece of habitat is damaged for some reason, it will have a detrimental effect on somebody else. And this is where this poem came for me, and the five words that sparked it were wheel, cold, knit, snow, and grass. A rook longs for a badger. Where did the badgers go? We miss their cuts. The cold wheels rut in snow, the nosed-sized pockets knit these fields for years. Now we must peck deeper for our worms through new wet grass, frosted in ice, our feathers licorice black in the slick, soft Irish winter. Rook calls, don't cull, all should be full for nature to persevere. Cull and fall towards a constant winter. Thank you very much.